A friend of Rob Congdon and a dear friend of mine, Dr. John Whitcomb. He is par excellent when it comes to knowing the Word of God, a great theologian and author, wrote the book with Henry Morris, The Genesis Flood, which is basically a classic. And indeed, we look for every opportunity we can to have Dr. Whitcomb on the air with us. John, thank you so very much for being with us. And there was a report actually coming out of the BBC, British Broadcasting Corporation, in London, that there was a monster black hole that has been observed. It's the brightest object in the universe, according to what the report said. And it seems to be that they are saying it's about 12.9 billion light years away. Now, of course, there is some concern about the Christian body looking at this and saying, well, wait a minute, I thought the earth was young, et cetera, et cetera. Talk to me. What is a black hole, if you can give us a layman's understanding of it with short statements, and then talk to us about all these many light years away this location would be.
Jimmy, it's so amazing. The Bible knows ahead of time, of course, written by God himself, that we would ask questions about the things we see and discover in the universe above and the earth beneath. Black hole, of course, is a great center where gravitation pulls things into itself, and even light, and it's an amazing phenomenon. But really, when we look at the biblical picture of how all these things came to be, it gives us a profound perspective that's so important. Listen carefully. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the assurance, we're not just guessing, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, things we can't see normally with the unaided eye. God says, trust me, I am the creator of the universe. And so you turn back to Genesis 1 and you see how these amazing things happened. God tells us in that amazing fourth day that he made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, that's the sun, the lesser light to govern the night, of course, that's the moon. Now listen to this, and the stars also. Trillions, quintillions of stars. Yes, stars and planets and moons and black holes and things that seem to go out forever and ever. But God says, wait a minute now, look how it happened. Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and by the breath of his mouth all their host. Let all the earth fear the Lord, let the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, for he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, it stood fast. In other words, an instantaneous response to the mere spoken word of an infinite God. And you know, Jimmy, the amazing thing to me is, the Bible tells us about those stars, he knows exactly how many there are and what they're like. Listen to this, Psalm 147, 4. He counts the number of the stars and gives names to all of them. Great is our Lord, and yes, abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite.
Right.
And, this goes on in Isaiah chapter 40. Listen to this one, verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars. The one who leads forth their hosts by number. He calls them all by name. Because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing. Now, God tells us, of course, that all this was done by the Lord Jesus Christ within six short days. The amazing thing is that God spread his creation over 6 days instead of doing it immediately. Because when the Son of God, the creator of the universe, was here on this earth 2,000 years ago, every sign miracle did was instantaneous. Still the storm, heal the sick, raise the dead, by his mere spoken word.
Mm.
And I say, Lord, I don't know that much about the stars, the galaxies, but I know who you are, and that you have created these things with a light already reaching the earth, so we wouldn't have to wait billions of years to see the light come on. We can see the light, we can discover black holes, white holes, all kinds of things up there that are coming to view through these great telescopes that are orbiting the earth, Hubbard, and I say, Lord, I'm just amazed at how you've condescended in the only book you ever wrote, the Bible, to tell us that through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, all these things came into being. You know how many stars? You've told us we'll never be able to count them. You know the names of each one. That means each one is different. That's why 1 Corinthians 15 says, each star differs from each other one in glory, like snowflakes or grains of sand. And I say, Lord, thank you for these discoveries that show us more and more how awesome, magnificent, incomprehensible, and glorious you really are.
Yeah, wow. Wow, just reading the Word gives us the assurance. These people who are involved in this scientific research, our so-called scientific research, giving some possibilities, but the truth has just been relayed to us by Dr. John Whitcomb. Well, there's another item I need to talk to you about, Brother John. There is, I understand, in Israel, a group of men who've developed some software which seems to indicate it has the power to look at the Bible and tell us the different personalities or the peoples who wrote the Bible, and they're basically saying there's not one central author of the Word of God. That has to be off, as I understand it, the Holy Spirit of God breathed into men everything that they would say from God himself.
Yes, God does not rub out, extinguish the personalities of the 40-plus writers he used over those 2,000 years to write his infallible, inerrant word. We see those characteristics of each writer, like Paul, Peter, John, and Matthew, and so forth, Isaiah in the Old Testament, yes, Moses. But nevertheless, in spite of the different personalities, God guarantees that what is written is his infallible word. And that's the miracle, of course, of inspiration, that the Bible is created by God using distinct vocabulary, writing styles of these different writers, and yet the end result is his infallible word. That's an amazing discovery, isn't it, that God can use our individual personalities and yet overrule our errors and our sin and our mistakes to bring a perfect Bible into existence.
You know, and that is absolutely truth. Amen and amen. John, I was just over in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, staying in some people's homes, picked up a magazine where you had written an article. It was the magazine Answers from the Answers in Genesis people. And it was talking about how can we really know truly that the Bible is the Word of God, and had seven different reasons that we should learn and be able to use. You gave us the first one, and just briefly say a word about the reason that we can trust in God's word is because of God's character.
Right. God guarantees, of course, that he only speaks the truth, because one of his fundamental attribute, characteristic, is holiness. Mm. That means he never sins, makes a misjudgment, makes a mistake anywhere ever in his mind, in his word, in his revelation. And therefore, because we know who he is and what he's like and his attributes and his character, we have absolute confidence by the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Godhead, who illumines us and enlightens us and instructs us, that what we're reading here is God's mind, God's mind. Now, of course, everything we do, including making copies of the Bible, is liable to error. But we have the guarantee that we can go back and find with amazing accuracy and sufficiency exactly what God said in those original manuscripts, of which we have so many copies, thousands of copies, of what God wrote in the only book on this earth he ever wrote.
I love
40 writers. And I say, thank you, Lord, that your character, your attribute, your holiness is our guarantee that what you've spoken truth.
I love your phrase there, the only book that God ever wrote on this earth, the Word of God, the Bible. And of course, a good third of that prophetic, and that's the focus of our broadcast, and we can have as much assurance on the authority and the authenticity of the Word of God as we think about prophecy, as what we've been thinking about. John, it's always a joy to be able to get a hold of you for a moment and have conversations with you. Thank you, my dear friend. We appreciate it so very much.
Thank you, Jimmy. God be with you.